I'll go ahead and start, because I'm not going to need that until the latter part of the lesson. So Matthew 22:37, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." All of God's laws are wrapped up in these two commandments. They're all fulfilled in these two commandments. And Jesus fulfilled the law by keeping these two commandments. If you look in Romans 13 and verse 10, the first and perhaps the foremost rule about loving your neighbor is found here, Romans 13:10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And if you look in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37, Luke 10:29. "But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied and said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came unto him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." So our neighbor is everyone we have an opportunity to help, not just the people that live beside us. And so to love your neighbor means to do them no harm, and actually also to do them good. Those two things: do them no harm and do them good. In Matthew 18, and starting in verse 15, Matthew 18:15, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Someone that the people despised, right? So this is God's instructions on how we handle disputes, because obviously what we're talking about now is the latter of the two great commandments, to love one another. And so God gives us instructions about doing this: do no harm, do good, And if the peace is broken, here's how you handle the dispute. You go to that brother. And so, as we continue on here in Matthew 18, let's pick up now in verse 18. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, to say to you that if two agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. So then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Because seven is the perfect number. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you do not forgive his brother from your heart. So, the question being, how much should you forgive? That was the question they asked Jesus. Seven times? Well, the answer is, how much do you wish to be forgiven? How much do you forgive? How much do you wish to be forgiven? So now, we're going to move now back to the first and the greatest commandment. What we just went over was pretty simple, but it covers, I think, in all the details, how you are to love your neighbor and fulfill the second greatest commandment, to love one another. So, let's go to the first great commandment. The reason for the first and great commandment is because we owe God, our Creator, for our very existence. Think about that. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, with your whole being, you should love God, your Creator. And if for no other reason alone, that he gave us our existence. So in him we live and move and have our being. He has given us as well all things pertains to this life and to godliness. So God, it appears in scriptures that he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, which is indicative of a relationship. John 17:3, let's take a quick look at that. John 17, verse 3 says, This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know God, Jesus said, is eternal life. What does that mean? Knowing God is more than intellectual knowledge. It implies personal relationship to know God, which in our lives involves experimental knowledge. That is, we encounter God through prayer, worship, reading the scriptures, singing, and walking in His ways in our lives. So to know God fully means recognizing Jesus as God's Son, our Savior, and being united with Him in our baptism. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, that we are united with Him in baptism into His death. In Acts 2:38 is where we receive the Holy Spirit, which we understand is Christ in us. That union with Christ, we must have it to really know Him. Now, can you put that up on the board for me, Dustin? I hope you guys can see this from back there. There it is. Okay. Can everybody see that? So, anyway, I will point it out to you. If anybody wants me to send you a picture of that or something later, I can certainly do that. So, this is a heart's journey. This is from our first glance of Jesus to forever. Chapter 1 is the first glance. The girl, step out of your guys' way. The girl notices something different about a friend's life. Their joy, confidence, or kindness. Or she hears stories of Christ for the first time. It sparks a curiosity, like seeing someone across a crowded room. He's not like the rest. A gentle light in her heart, or a small seed of curiosity, is planted. Awareness of God's presence and call. Curiosity opens her heart to God's invitation. Follow me. In chapter 2, she goes from her first glance of Jesus, whether in another person's life or in the hearing to her ears. In chapter 2, she's getting to know Him. She starts exploring faith in Him, reading scriptures, asking questions about Him. She reflects on her conversations with Him in her journal and notices a peace to her heart when she spends time along with Him. It reminds her of passing notes, long conversations, and shared laughter with her friends. For in times like these, she forgets He is her Creator, in whom she lives and moves and exists. He seems more like her very best friend. She feels a growing intimacy as she learns more of His character. She's starting to realize, just like with her closest friends, true relationships, even with God, are built on knowing each other. In chapter 3, she's choosing to commit. Choosing to commit, she decides to take His offer to follow Him and to be His steady date. She has counted the cost and what it would mean to follow him. It would involve making lifestyle choices that would honor him, while knowing she will experience resistance from some, as well knowing there will be worldly distractions, but know she can be faithful as long as she keeps her eyes on him. Her thoughts go back to a simple glance, to a staring gaze, to holding hands and long conversations. In chapter 4, it becomes a deepening bond, engagement. With the engagement ring on her finger, she begins to envision her life fully aligned with God's calling. Ahead of her lies test of patience, perseverance, and trust, as well temptations, doubts, and setbacks. However, her husband will come along beside her as a present help in time of need, and he will never forsake her. With the betrothal phase complete, with sanctification and all spiritual preparation for full union through eternity, all that will remain is the wedding supper of the Lamb and his bride, the church, in the heavenly realm. So I encourage you now, church, to go and read the Lord's love letter to his bride, which, as you know, is the book of Ecclesiastes, only 12 chapters. Read the whole thing and listen to his reply to her heart. So the purpose of our life is to love the Lord God with all our heart, all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do them good and do them no harm. This is the purpose of life. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed.